Sports Vault Podcast.
Yo, yo.
Jay Reed.
B.
Got my man B in the building.
Chirt.
What's up, man? We live right now watching the Chicago Bears.
Sports Vault
beat
Podcast.
Up on them Washington Redskins, man. It's not looking too good. But it wasn't looking too good for a lot of teams this weekend, man. I got to start it off with the performance by the Philadelphia Eagles, man. Highly disappointing, man. I know we're understaffed. We're hit hard right now with a bunch of injuries. DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey still haven't, you know, touched the field in week two or week three, man. But we're hoping that we can get Alshon Jeffrey back for week four against the Green Bay Packers, which I believe is a must-win game, man. But, you know, it was hard to watch. Carson Wentz showed a lot of frustration. He's getting hit way too much in the pocket, man. I know you saw the Eagles game. The defense, you know, they're doing their thing. They're holding up in key points, man. So I can't really fault them. I'm not really liking what I'm seeing out of the offense, but I'm a hold tight until our injured stars get back on board, man. But what do you think about them Eagles, man? I had them pegged for the Super Bowl. What you think about that as far as their the Super Bowl aspirations at this point, man? It's not looking too good.
You said the defense is good? Oh, man, questionable. I think they need some work, man. I think the offense is the best thing they got going for them right now, honestly. But these players, man, Nelson Aguilar has definitely got to grab that ball. Like, seven drop passes, like, those were important. Not just him alone, just the whole this is bad, man. You can't afford those drop passes. And those were, like, some of them were, like, touchdown scoring passes. So, I mean, definitely the level of pedigree that they bring to the game. But I think Carson Wentz, his frustration is definitely shown because he knows what his team's capable of. And in this game against Green Bay Thursday is going to be intense because Green Bay is definitely – I think them having Aaron Rodgers back is definitely I see him doing good this weekend. I want the Eagles to win, but I got Packers on Thursday, man. I think A-Rod and those team have momentum, and the Eagles are just trying to figure things out and trying to get the ball, trying to get it rolling. But I think A-Rod and the Packers winning on Thursday.
Yeah, it's hard for me to pick against the Birds because I'm such a heavy Eagles fan, man. But, you know, the Packers do look good right now.
27-20.
That's a good score. I mean, it's going to be tough, man. The only thing that I'm counting on right now is you know, is the pressure that we're under right now. I feel like in the city, we heard a lot of them Boo Birds come out over the weekend. But the Packers look good, man. I think that they're one of the best teams in the NFC. They're 3-0. The Cowboys look good, so they're tough. The Eagles, this is a must-win this weekend. I know you've been watching them Browns.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know, I'm going to start it off, man. Baker Mayfield, trash. And he's the reason why they're not going to make the playoffs. I don't see that happening. You know, he's got, you know, to be better at his progressions, reading the defense, throwing off his back foot. That's not going to get it done. I know Baker Mayfield's your man. I know you're believing in him right now, but it's not looking too good. They look real disappointing on the offensive end. They got a lot of weapons. They got a lot of healthy weapons that's out there on the field not showing up, man. My man Odell, I mean, he's electric when he has the ball in his hand, man. You got to find a way to get your playmakers the ball, man. What do you think the Browns' issues are? Why do you think they took that loss to the Rams yesterday? That was tough.
I think it was a pretty good game, man. They had the possibility of winning that game, but again, you're right, man. I think I don't want to say Baker's trash, but he definitely has to elevate his game. It just shows, man, the level of experience shows. I think he's been getting hit hard last year, this year. And I think those hits are having a heavy influence on how he's playing his game. I think he's worried about getting hit. I think he needs to get, like, just stronger in a sense of, like, just physicality, mentally just knowing to be in the pocket, expecting those hits and just still kind of following through with those passes. Kind of, in a sense, having his faith in the refs, hoping that they'll look out for those. I mean, he always wants to protect himself at the end of the day. But I think just giving him more experience and giving him time, he'll be all right, man. I got faith in him. Maybe not a playoff team, Not this year. I see him next year making some strong noise. That team was just gathered together over this year. So I give him 2020-2021 season. I don't want to talk in the future, but I mean, give him time. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely a lot of new faces. A new face showed up in New York over this weekend. Daniel Jones, the quarterback, replacing the questionable Hall of Fame quarterback Eli Manning, man. I don't know. Daniel Jones looked good. He looked athletic out there. They was able to squeak out the victory on a last second missed field goal by the Buccaneers. But you know, he looked good. He looked athletic out there. He was throwing the ball around. It is their first win of the season. There's a lot of questions whether Eli is going to remain on the team. I think they did a good job of allowing his dignity to stay intact. They should have been pulled the plug on him being a starter a long time ago. Maybe they would still have Odell in a Giants uniform if Eli had been pulled from being a starter last season when it was supposed to happen. Now, you know, we got Daniel Jones coming in. He looked good. He looked good out there. He can scramble. He can run. I'm not going to, you know, put him on the Pro Bowl team just yet, but it's big. They got a big injury to Saquon Barkley, man, out 4 to 8 weeks with a high ankle sprain. That's devastating. He's definitely one of the young, up-and-coming best running backs in the league up there with Ezekiel Elliott and Le'Veon Bell, man. But, you know, Eli, should he request a trade? I mean, or should he remain on a humble level and wait this season out, man? A lot of people want to know where Eli's going to end up before the season is going to end.
I mean, it's ooh, is that a touchdown?
Out of bounds. Yeah.
Eli staying in New York or going to another team. That's a tough decision to make. It depends on how many more years he wants to play. Ooh. Oh, that's real close. Gabriel. Ooh.
1 foot out. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I think if Eli Manning has 5 years, he goes to another team, comes back to New York, retires, maybe. 3 years, stays in New York. Doesn't even care if he's a backup. That's my opinion.
Eli is done. You heard it right here first on Sports Vote Podcast, man. Eli is done. It's a wrap. Cook him, book him, man. I don't know. He might as well go into coaching, man. I don't know. I can't see another team giving the Statue of Liberty another shot to move around the pocket. I mean, you definitely got to be able to be mobile and be on the run. You got to be able to scramble and improvise and make plays. That's what Daniel Jones was able to go in and do this week. And, man, I'm not saying that, you know, what he was able to do in the past can be overlooked. I think those championship teams were heavy defensive teams that really kind of carried that roster. But, you know, he has 2 championships and he has 2 Super Bowls to show for it. There is another replacement quarterback who should be a starter in this league. I think he's actually a better quarterback than quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield. If Teddy Bridgewater was starting for the Cleveland Browns right now, they'd probably be 2-1 instead of 1-2. But I think while Drew Brees is hit and he's injured right now, he's definitely going to come in and hold it down, hold the ship down. I mean, he looked good out there. Teddy Bridgewater should definitely be a starter. It was exciting to see him back on the field after, you know, suffered such a devastating injury a couple years back. He's really bounced back and he's played the backup role as a professional as he possibly can. I think this is going to be a showcase for other teams going forward. This injury to Drew Brees could kind of be a blessing in disguise for Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's going to get to show some teams what he can do. I'm looking for him to actually beat the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football this upcoming week in Week 4, man. Since we're throwing out scores and we're throwing out predictions, I'm going to say to the Saints beat the Cowboys 27-20 on Sunday Night Football this coming week on Week 4, man. But I think the Saints are due for a big season. When Drew Brees gets back, I think they're just going to pick up where pretty much where Bridgewater leaves off. They're definitely going to the playoffs, man. But You know, it's a lot of young quarterbacks out there. I know you was excited about that Ravens Chiefs game, man. What was your impressions, man, of that matchup? Lamar Jackson.
They brought it.
Pat Mahomes, man.
They brought it.
Video game. The man's he's a walking video game, man. He's different.
Yeah, man. They definitely brought it, man. They talked about these two kids and I don't want to say kids, but these two young gentlemen, the matchup may be close to Ali, Frazier, like Brady, Eli Manning. I mean, Peyton Manning. Heavy names with heavy bouts, you know what I mean? And I think these two young cats definitely, they're not making a noise by just talking, but just definitely showing their level of play. Not only are they just, like, performing on the numbers, but I think their, like, level of leadership off the field is carrying weight. And that's kind of just, you just see it, like, bringing onto the field. So these two young guys are good, talented. They seem humble. They seem hardworking. I'm just excited to see these two play. It was good to see Patrick Mahomes. I think he blew through for three touchdowns, 374 yards, and incredible performance. So Lamar Jackson's performance was nothing short of that. I believe he threw for 200 yards over like 250. I'm not too sure his actual numbers. They both had a good game, man. So I'm excited to see them, how they turn out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, the league is definitely headed in the right direction, man, with two young quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes, man. It was exciting. At the end of the day, the Chiefs have a better team than the Ravens, and it's not like Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes were going out there playing one-on-one. It still is a team game, man. And at the end of the day, I think what happened was pretty much what a lot of people predicted. The Chiefs won because the Chiefs have a better team, man. The Chiefs are the Patriots that definitely end up in the Super Bowl. I think that's clear after 4 weeks. What's not clear is Cam Newton's health. I mean, he started the season. He told everybody he was cool. He stepped on the field. He didn't look right. They suffered an injury where he didn't make a move on the goal line that, you know, 9 times out of 10, we know Cam Newton for picking up a first down situation. They were actually, you know, denied on the goal line where they didn't get into the end zone. But this past weekend, you know, he took the sideline. There's no timetable for his return right now. But I do not believe that the Panthers will make any kind of playoff runs or, you know, have anything to do with any type of success this season if Cam Newton's not on the field at 100%. There's a lot of injuries that are, you know, plaguing the league right now. My man AJ Green has yet to touch the field. The Bengals, I don't think they're going anywhere. They're 0-3. We got the Bum Bowl coming up with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals, man. 0-3 versus 0-3. We're going to call that the Bum Bowl. Somebody's going to have to come out of the Bum Bowl with a win. But, you know, I don't think neither one of those teams are going to make the playoffs. That's why it's wide open for the Ravens. But before we do, you know, it's some, you know, lead this NFL news. We're going to step off the field, man. It's some off-the-field topics that are still swirling. We're going to start it off with Antonio Brown, man. You know he's been released from the Patriots. He's been, you know, talking a lot of trash, man, calling out, kicking a lot of people's backs, and it's not looking too good. I'm actually on the fence about Antonio Brown making it back to the NFL. It's cloudy, man. It's not looking too good for this season. I don't think that nobody's going to give him a chance until we definitely hear get some clarification on his current situation, man. But how do you feel about AB? Are these self-inflicted wounds, or do you feel like he's going to be back on the field this season, or what's the climate with that?
I think I don't think he'll be back for the season. He's made tweets that he's not going to go back this season. He's actually re-enrolled back into college. Which kind of just shows his level of seriousness and pursue different avenues. I think Antonio Brown just kind of needs a break from all this, actually. It's a lot. It's overwhelming. I mean, we've been covering this guy for almost a month now, and his story is just like, it just gets
ongoing.
Yeah, and it just gets more, a little bit more upsetting and upsetting. And I hate to see someone just kind of like spiral out of control into these These like just to see him in these actions, I don't think he's aware. I think he's in such a high space right now, where it's like he kind of needs to like just come back like down to reality and kind of just recognize like how much is happening just from like his simple words. He could just have he could say a simple sentence, and people are just listening to everything he says right now, and even the slightest words could just have the most powerfulest impact, because of his situations, because of these allegations, because of his reputation. A lot is against him right now, and I think his best option is just kind of just not say anything at all, just kind of listen and kind of just like kind of inhale and recognize what's going on.
True.
And then just kind of exhale and make the best decision going forward in the future.
Definitely. Now, there's several Patriot players, man, who have voiced their displeasure, actually, with the decision of the release of Antonio Brown. You know, a lot of his teammates said that they felt like, you know, he had made a positive impression. He looks like he was still, you know, making some off-the-field errors. So, you know, their decision to cut ties with him, you know, was a decision that, you know, Robert Kraft made after these intimidating text messages from Brown were found to be sent to this woman who's accused him of sexual misconduct. It came to light. The Patriots were also under the impression that, you know, that was the end of the off-the-field drama. Obviously, there's no end to the off-the-field drama that is AB. You know, these messages were sent. You know, they got out of a lot of money that they owed him that he's obviously upset about. He has signed a $10 million guarantee bonus, nine of which was, you know, to come in the form of a signing bonus. But the team, you know, they're expected to withhold the $5 million. I heard he's going to file a grievance report to try to get this money. He's been quoted as stating, you know, they can, you know, how owners of the NFL can, you know, part ways with no justifiable reason for a player without owing them guaranteed money. But, you know, a player is expected to, you know, fulfill his contract. I believe there's all kinds of clauses in these contracts that's negotiated during the collective bargain agreement that definitely have to be, you know, called under the light with a situation like this. I mean, if he's owed his money, they should definitely, you know, give him what he's owed. But if there's something that's in the contract that says if he has any kind of misconduct, then, you know, pretty much he's not going to get paid a dime. Now, he's actually gotten into it with Shannon Sharp, which is interesting. You know, somebody who, you know, we definitely, you know, pay a lot of respect to here on Sports Full Podcast, man. But there's a lot of, you know, heavy hitters weighing in. Obviously, Brady declined to address any of the drama. They want to keep it focused and locked in. And it looks like AB is going to be locked in on going back to school. A Central Michigan product. He's going to be, you know, doing his thing. He's planned on, you know, definitely in an Instagram post. He's been all over social media. It feels like we know Antonio's every move based off of Twitter and social media right now, man. But I don't know what the end game is for all this, or what the results of this situation is going to be, man. I definitely hope that he comes out of this situation a better man. I hope that he's humbled by this situation, and you know, if he is given another chance, man, I definitely think that, you know, he should set an example for how you can, you know, overcome you know, some allegations that hopefully prove to be untrue. I mean, if the allegations are proven to be anything other, I think that he won't be able to recover, man. But, you know, until, you know, everything is cleared out, we're going to assume innocence in this situation until proven guilty, man. And I definitely would love to see Antonio back on the field. I'm a huge fan of his talent. And the league, you know, needs quality product, man. I don't want to see him end up in another league or doing something, you know, that's below his skill level at this point in his career, man. But I don't think this is going to be the end of AB news, man. I think that we're still in the midst of AB news, man. So, you know, we always want to keep it covered and keep you up to date with all the fresh, hot topics. And right now, AB is at the front of all that, man. But, you know, We cover all things Sports Vote Podcast.
You heard it first, man. We tuning back in. Jay Reed, B Medina, man. We back at it with some topics. We just covered the NFL. We got some live coverage going on right now with the Chicago Bears and the Washington Redskins.
Yep, yes, sir.
Started the second half, still 28-3. Bears leading the game, man. Interesting game, man.
Killing
me. But enough about football, man. What's up? You got something for me, Joel? What's up?
Yeah, man. KD, you know, he's back on it, man. At the social media news, man, with KD, man. He loves social media, man. He's, you know, always on Instagram, always on Twitter. He's actually deleted some tweets that he actually put out from some responding to some comments that were made by Magic Johnson, who recently, you know, made the comment that he feels like KD is in the search of true happiness. You know, Kevin Durant has been quoted, from saying that he had to leave the Warriors situation because he never felt like he quite fit in. He never felt like he was, you know, one of the fellas that, you know, because he wasn't one of the original members that were on those original championship teams. And they actually won, you know, 70 games without KD. So, you know, it's hard, you know, to try to come on board with a situation with an established unit like that. So he never quite fit in. He's been vocal about his opinion, leaving that system over there. You know, Steve Kerr said he wasn't, offended by his comments on the system and, you know, the way they made him fit in there, man. But Magic Johnson making these comments saying that he believes that KD's in search of, some happiness. I don't think that is anything that serious. I think KD just speaks his mind. Of course, he's, thrilled about being an NBA champion. I think at this point, what he has going on in Brooklyn, looking to establish a whole separate brand as the leader, I think that's what maybe he's in search for, man. But I don't think that he was not necessarily happy about winning those championships with the Golden State Warriors. So, a bit on the fence with those comments that Magic Johnson made, man. But how do you feel like, KD is handling this departure from Golden State, this whole transition to the Brooklyn Nets? Who, by the way, are laying down a great court this upcoming season, man. It looks kind of crazy. I saw it online, man. But KD is going to be one of these players that ushers in this new era. And I heard he's actually looking to try to get back on the court before the season is up, man. But how do you feel about his emotional state? KD, back in the news.
Very expressive. I think he's a very expressive individual. I don't think he's wrong. And what he said about his time at Golden State. And I actually don't think Magic Johnson is wrong about what he said about Kevin Durant looking for his happiness. I think Kevin Durant right now wants to be a part of something that he's excited for. I think he had that in the beginning of Oklahoma, when those good years, when they first had James Harden, Russell Westbrook. I think those three guys, I think they had a bond that they felt like they were ready to, like that was a super team built before, like the talent was even recognized, and I think it was very exciting to watch those guys play. I think Kevin Durant at this point recognized that when he had to separate from OKC, it was because of the limelight between him and Russell Westbrook, and when he got to the Golden State Warriors, even though they would win and they would win together, I think there was an element that those guys had together as a team that he knew he wasn't a part of because it was developed even before he got there. I don't think it was a part of a – I don't think it was a – that they wanted to influence that, and I think that's a big part of why Steve Kerr wasn't offended. It's because they just know, it just happens, man. It's like the new kid on the block, man. That's all it is.
Yeah, definitely not. Now he's the big kid on the block in Brooklyn, man. I mean, what his legacy, I think, ultimately get remembered for is what he does in Brooklyn at the end of the day. If he's able to establish a winning era in Brooklyn, that'll be huge for his legacy. I think that'll solidify, what he's looking for in a lot of fans' eyes. He actually got into it with a fan, I believe, who was having a random GOAT conversation. And, he said it was different elements and different aspects to take into consideration, said he wasn't really driven or, offended by people not considering him in that conversation when they talk about LeBron James or Michael Jordan, because he really feels like he should be included in that conversation. deep down as a competitive player, man. But when he's not, which he really isn't included in those conversations, it's always the LeBron James versus Michael Jordan conversation. Why don't we include Kevin Durant in that conversation? He is a champion. He's got scoring titles. He's got MVPs. He has all the same accolades as the other two athletes, Michael Jordan and LeBron James, but yet and still never quite seems to get mentioned with those other elite players, you know, special Mount Rushmore players. But, you know, we're going to have to see how this works out in Brooklyn with KD in his Nets uniform. He's got Kyrie Irving, who I feel like is an extremely talented point guard who they're going to do some big things this year. Hopefully he bounces back from his Achilles injury. Klay Thompson is also recovering from a ACL injury. That's going to have a huge effect on the Golden State Warriors, their start to this season. And I'm saying it here first, man, Steph Curry, this season, man, Steph Curry is going to have a crazy season. I'm predicting it, man. Steph Curry is going to pick up the load for losing Andre Iguodala, losing DeMarcus Cousins, losing KD and all the other players that they lost, injuries to Klay. I think Steph Curry is going to be a top three MVP candidate. Don't be surprised if he averages 30. You know, what we see is assist numbers go up. Maybe that has to happen for them to be successful. They have D'Angelo Russell on the roster now. So we're going to see if he remains on the roster after the trade deadline. You know, but we're going to have to see how a lot of things work out, including the new situation with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in Los Angeles alongside LeBron James and AD. You know, it's a lot of competition out there in L.A. They're actually talking about switching up the load management plan, man, which was a topic of discussion throughout last season. But they're actually talking about, you know, reducing that. Doc Rivers told reporters that, you know, he think that, you know, Kawhi, you know, these last 2 years hasn't really put a lot of, you know, time or tax on his body. So he's going to try to, like, you know, amp it up a little bit season. I think he's going to amp it up, man, because it's getting hot out there in L.A. And he knows he's going to need to scale back on that load management, man. But how do you think about, you know, Doc Rivers taking a new approach to Kawhi Leonard's load management? I mean, he made this famous back in San Antonio with the load management thing. Took it to Toronto. They won a chip off the load management regiment. And now we're going to see it change up out here in L.A., man. How you feel about this new approach?
Whatever it is, I just hope it's appropriate to his game. I think definitely. I mean, 5 years ago, nobody would think Kawhi Leonard is one of the best, like, NBA players in the league. I mean, people consider, like, hey, he's the top player. He's good. Maybe top 10. But now, like, we're putting him up there, Alexa, LeBron James. He shows that he can carry a team. I mean, so abruptly, he just went to Toronto for one season. He didn't even want to be there. And not being there, he still brought the team a ring, which just shows he's good, man. And like he's saying, they weren't even, like, they're going to amp it up, his workload. So he's going to work harder. He's going to do more. I think he's going to perform at an intense level of play. I don't think a lot of other players are going to be able to recognize it or even how to compete. Mm-hmm. But I just hope that he's smooth with it. He's not just too much of it and then cause any injuries or anything like that. I want him to be smooth because just kind of when you're playing at an intense level, it just makes you just use a lot more force, and then just putting a lot of force in one direction in the wrong places can do damage. So I just hope he just, as great as he does this year, I just hope he stays healthy.
Yeah, it would work out if they would give my man Melo a chance. That would help out with the load management, man. I see reports here that the team that we were just talking about, the Brooklyn Nets, are a team that's very unlikely to do so. League sources are saying that they're reportedly leaning towards other players to fill their roles. I mean, my man Carmelo Anthony was a 10-time All-Star, and people questioning his Hall of Fame status. You know, he's been effective, you know, out the NBA for the last couple seasons. I mean, the last time we saw him was, you know, with the Houston Rockets. It didn't end on a good note. You know, his time with the Thunder didn't end on a good note, man. Melo keeps having these end of, you know, terms with these teams that don't, you know, this keeps ending on a sour note. Now he's 35 years old, trying to find a job now and back in the league. Just the Clippers, the Warriors. There's been a few teams that's been thrown out there. I don't know at this point where he's going to fit in. You know, teams are kind of formulating right now as training camp is getting ready to start. I believe we're less than 4 weeks away from the start of the NBA season. I think we're more towards the 3 week area. 3 weeks, just saying that. 3 weeks before the kickoff of the NBA season, the first game of the season, the Clippers and the Lakers started off. It's definitely going to be crazy, man. A player, Joe Johnson, has actually signed a deal back with the Pistons. So he's going to be back in the league. ISO Joe is going to, you know, so it's going to be definitely a crazy upcoming season. You know, he was out of the big three. Which Ice Cube has, you know, took to social media and said that he believes that the big three should be the platform for, you know, players that are out of the league to now work their way back into the league. Do you think that the big three could be the route for Melo to take? I know he has a lot of pride, and I know he has a lot of, you know, he has a big ego, man. But do you think that the platform for the big three is the way for Melo to get back into the NBA?
It'll be fun to see. I think his level of game is intense. I think the big three is just a great platform for a lot of players who kind of just need an off season. Like if the NFL had kind of like a big three where Adrian Broner could kind of fall back and play in this league, not have so much attention to him, and just kind of like still develop like skills that are important to your team, like just team camaraderie. Team hierarchy, just recognizing like what position you fall. Even if you're the best player, you may not be the guy at the top because you don't have the best leadership skills or you don't have the best communication skills, which I think is something that Carmelo could just kind of like fall back and just recognize that a lot of these guys playing in the big three are just actually like mature men. Sure. Some are just even fathers, you know what I mean? So, sure. And some are just kind of working in areas that isn't the same as the NBA anymore. Mm-hmm. That I think that has helped them become like better basketball players. And I think it just shows, man. I think the big three is a great platform. I think Carmelo's level of game is so like it's so NBA.
It's tough.
That he'd be another ISO Joe, just kind of going in there and just dominating.
So when ISO Joe gets an opportunity, man, when their games are really, you know, similar, you know, perimeter scorers who, you know, pretty much made their living on the offensive side, man, it makes you wonder, you know, why, you know, Carmelo hasn't been given the same, you know, opportunity. But, you know, on another real tragic note, Texas Tech icon Emmitt Andre Emmitt, you know, was shot and killed. It looks like, you know, two unknown suspects approached him while he was sitting in his vehicle outside his home early Monday morning. He was shot while running away from the aggressors and, you know, actually later died at the hospital. Now, he was a three-time All Big 12 selection. He had actually made his way through the NBA, had a short stint, was playing in the big three at a high level, man. This is definitely really sad news to hear about something like this. You know, it just makes you, you know, take view life in a whole different aspect. You know, people out in the streets, they don't care about your celebrity status or not, or what you're doing. A lot of times it's jealousy. You know, I believe that this man, you know, was doing something for himself. Went back locally and ran into some people that, you know, were, I believe, probably just jealous of where he was at in life. It's definitely a sad, tragic story, man. 37 years, I mean, old, so that this is crazy to think that you could be here one day and then go on the next, man. But we definitely want to send prayers out to the family of Andre Emmitt. But, you know, on the Sports Vote podcast, man, we always make sure we rap on positive notes. And, you know, we're definitely going to rap on some positive levels here. The WNBA, man, is getting heated. My girl Candace Parker, man, they got put out recently by the Connecticut Sun. I mean, she only logged 11 minutes in the season, man. Now, you know, it looks like the coach, Derek Fisher, you know, the two-time MVP just played her 11 minutes in the loss Said she was low on energy, man. It's definitely disappointing not to see my homegirl Candace Parker take her game to the finals, man. But, you know, we're definitely going to keep our eye on that situation. Washington versus Las Vegas has an upcoming match. You know, the Washington Mystics and the Las Vegas Aces. They're actually going to be, you know, taking on the Connecticut Sun. So we're going to have to see who's holding that trophy up at the end of the season. But Candace Parker, my girl, you know, she's going to be watching on the sidelines this year. So she's not going to get a chance to hold that trophy in the air. Maybe next year. I don't see my girl Maya Moore in these playoffs, man. That's disappointing, man. I'm a huge Maya Moore fan. I know she's, I believe she's still Team Jordan. I'm not sure. I know she was one of the first female athletes to ever be a part of Team Jordan. I haven't seen her in any recent commercials or any recent postings, man. Like my man Zion, who had an ill Jordan commercial, a Jumpman commercial. I don't know if he had a chance to catch that, man. But, you know, he had a crazy, crazy ill commercial. That you got to check out with Zion, man. He's
the
new
one when the kids and he's in
he's
outside slamming
outside in the park area. They switched it up with a whole bunch of different slow mo angles. It was interesting, man. He's so athletic. He's so unique, man. And that buzz that he's going to bring to that city of New Orleans is crazy. Is intense, man. That's probably one of the main things that I'm looking forward to this season is seeing Zion and how his game actually translates to the NBA game. We're going to watch what's on his feet. We know he had the blowout incident in the Nikes. I believe they were PGs. I'm not sure what version they were. Might have been PG2s. But he actually had the blowout in which Nike came back and responded with some custom Kyries that he was actually playing in. But he's officially Team Jordan. We're going to have some coverage on these kicks that these athletes are going to be wearing, especially with these NBA athletes. I'm, you know, big on LeBron's, but it's Jordan and Nike all day for me. LeBron's coming out with some new 17s that, you know, the Laker colorways, future Air colorways, and also I believe a Black Ash colorway that we're definitely going to want to cover here on the Sports Bolt podcast, man. But Zion, Team Jordan, you know, leading the way with these with this offseason, you know, new faces, RJ Barrett on Puma, man. What you think about these young athletes with these big brands, man? Team Jordan, heavy in the game still.
It's good, man. I think that Zion commercial, he was promoting the Jordan 34. So, man, you know me, I'm a huge sneakerhead. I just love the technology that these newer artists are bringing to the to the level of game. I think it enhanced the player's performance. I remember when high top sneakers was a big thing because of ankle support, and then they shifted to low tops for more like agility and speed. So it's just exciting to see the level of technology. It's exciting to see these young guys actually get get acknowledged for their level of performance. Like they're just like, yeah, they're playing, but they're being endorsed to actually promote what they're doing and their influence and companies like Jordan, Nike, Puma, Adidas, man. I love it, man.
Got James Harden out there on Adidas, Dame Lillard. I'm not really a big Adidas head, so you won't really see a lot of them stripes on my feet, man, but I'm definitely going to keep them checks on my feet, man. But y'all make sure y'all keep the checks on the Sports Bolt podcast, man. Instagram at Sports Bolt podcast, Facebook at Sports Bolt podcast. Every episode can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I know you got one of those, so make sure you put the notifications on. B, episode 10, yeah. Sports Bolt podcast, man.
Yeah, I'm going to need y'all to come back, man. Appreciate the love and support, man. If you're tuning in, if you made it this far, man, just definitely keep tuning in, man. We're going to keep providing you guys with them hot topics, man, studying your favorite athletes, man, bringing you the hot, freshest news, man, at Sports Bolt podcast.
Definitely, man. We want to thank y'all for tuning in, man. We're having a lot of fun with this Sports Bolt podcast, making sure that we're bringing y'all all the updated coverage, mixed with a little bit of our personal opinions and our views. But it's definitely going to be, this is definitely the beginning of the ride, man. and make sure that you catch every episode of Sports Boat Podcast.